Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love. Love that comforts from heaven.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now allow me to be here on Wednesdays and bring you these great shows. We have a couple of great guests, but before we go to them, just a quick couple of announcements. First of all, our golf outing is this coming Monday, October the 14th, out at Tallamore Country Club. And looking forward to seeing all the golfers out there. I think we've got room for last-minute reservations, but you'll need to call Maureen here as soon as possible. The number is 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. And on the first weekend in November, November 1st to the 3rd, will be the Ave Maria Retreat Group out at Malvern. Father McKay will be the retreat director, and I've been asked to give one of the talks on Saturday afternoon, and I would love to see you out there as well. Again, it's a men's weekend, a traditional men's weekend. A lot of guys that will be there are in recovery, but it's not a Matt Talbot or a recovery weekend, so anybody's more than welcome to come on out. If you're interested, you can look it up on Malvern's website at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. Okay, we have two guests today. It sounds a little tinny in my ear anyway, but I'm joined by two daughters of St. Paul, Sister Orion Dick and Sister Allison Goliath. Again, they're daughters of St. Paul, Pauline sisters, and they've written a wonderful little book called Forgiven, A Guide to Confession and the Examine Prayer. And sisters, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here again.
Yeah. I had a chance to tell Sister Allison, but I didn't have time to tell Sister Orion that with these analog lines, it is possible for you to talk over each other. So when you're talking, you can't hear the other person. So just to be aware, I'll try to prevent it from happening if I can, but we have to be mannerly and talk one person at a time. So... two very young sisters, if I'm not mistaken. You've joined the order around 2017, is that correct?
Yes.
Very good. And what was the impetus behind putting this book together?
Sister Ann, do you want to take that one, or do you want me to?
You can.
Okay. So we were inspired to write this book. Particularly, like, the main occasion for it was because we have a friend who, she's in high school, and she was actually joining the Catholic Church. She was in our CIA, and she reached out to us before her first confession to ask if we knew of any resources for teenagers preparing for confession, like any examination of consciences for teens. And so we did a little digging online, and we found a few things, kind of different diocesan resources or just blog articles on specific parish websites, but we couldn't really find anything comprehensive to share with her. And we were like, well, there should be something out there, something for teens. It's not just for second graders when they first make their confession, or for adults then later in life going to confession. And so that was kind of what we first started thinking about Forgiven for. And I know that for me personally, it's confession has not always been my favorite sacrament, and so writing Forgiven was also a way of, for me, and I think for Sister Orianne as well, to kind of work through some of our own anxieties or fears related to confession, and learn how to embrace the sacrament even more, so that we can have that grace in our life even more.
Yeah, it was interesting because I got the book probably about a month ago, and then in preparing for the show last week, I had just had a conversation with my wife about the sacrament, and she hesitates sometimes because she's, it's not like it was when I was a kid. Everything changed, and it really hasn't. And I think the perspective some people have is that it's changed drastically since we were kids. I made my first confession in second grade, so 7 years old. And not a whole, as far as I know, it hasn't changed. But what you, I think you reinforce a lot in the book is that even if you're not completely up to date, you know, you don't remember the act of contrition, that the priests are really willing to help you. And that there's really nothing to fear.
Right, yeah. And I think for those of us who learned how to go to confession when we were 7 years old, even if the words themselves haven't changed, it's a very different experience going as a young person or as an adult to confession. What you do as a seven-year-old is probably not as hard to say out loud as some of the things that we might have to confess as adults. And so I think that it does need to be ongoing kind of formation and preparation for the sacrament based on the age that you're at now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The sins I committed in my teens and 20s were far worse than the ones I was committing when I was a much younger person. How was it to write a book together? I'm working on my own book now, and it's one thing to write on your own and put your own ideas out there. What was it like to do it together?
I had fun with it. I don't know about you, Sister Allison. it was a really cool experience to be able to sit down together and you know, share with one another our own experiences of transformation through this sacrament, like how Jesus has touched our lives and worked through our insecurities, but also recognizing that, you know, Sister Allison and I are two different people. We've had two different experiences, two very different lives, and at the same time, it's the same Jesus coming in and touching us in this profound way through this same sacrament, and recognizing that, you know, both she and I know different people in real life, speak to different people, and we've heard people with vastly different experiences or concerns or hang-ups about confession. And to be able to bring all of those things together, I think gave us a much more rounded understanding of really who we were striving to reach with this particular book and how best to help them. So it was a very enriching experience as well as a fun one. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think Sister Oriana and I actually entered the convent around the same time, and we went through all of our early formation together, so we know each other really well. So it was just fun on that level, too, to work on a project together and kind of put it together. It's nice to have a co-author because it's like you each only have to do half of the work. So I really loved it. It was great.
Now, that's awesome. And, you know, it was one of those sacraments. I was away from the church for about 10 years. And when I came back, it was, I think I'd started going to Mass for a little while. And then I made a retreat weekend and went to confession for the first time, probably close to 20 years. And it was definitely some fear involved in it. Since then, so over the course of the last 30, so I was 30 years old, 32 years old when I came back. I'm 63 now, so it's 30 years, and I've gone from never going to going maybe every couple of months to actually trying to get there every week. And one of the things that you point out in the book, it is a sacrament, so it's one of those things instituted by Christ in order to give grace. And so every time we go, we get more grace, right?
For sure. Yeah, I know for myself, too, before I entered the convent, I really did the bare minimum requirement for confession. Like, I knew that I was supposed to go at least once a year, so I did that, but I would, like, wait till, like, the very last minute because I didn't enjoy it. And after I entered the convent, it's our practice to go more regularly, usually around once a month, and seeing it more regularly happen in my life, it was like, wait, this is actually getting easier doing it more often, but also this grace is changing me over time. It was kind of like discovering that, wow, daily Mass is awesome. You get all this extra grace that, like, you wouldn't get if you were only going to Sunday Mass, even though Sunday Mass is wonderful and important, and you get a lot of grace there, too. It's kind of like a similar thing with confession of, like, well, if there's extra grace that I can have here, why wouldn't I do that? And God can really kind of transform you over time with that practice of being faithful to confession.
Yeah. One of my jobs as the host today is make sure that people know the name of the book and where they can get it, and we're gonna do it a few times over the course of the hour. Again, the title of the book is Forgiven, A Guide to Confession and the Examine Prayer. It's available on Pauline's website, and you have that website, www.pauline.org. That's pauline.org. If you want to order it directly from them, I recommend that. Our friends over at the St. Jude Shop here in Havertown can probably pick it up for you. If they don't already have it in stock, I recommend going either directly to the publisher or them first before picking it up on any of the other websites. So there's a pretty lengthy, frequently asked questions. And being in recovery and trying to help people come back to the faith through an organization I'm a part of called the Calyx Society, a lot of people come with questions about confession, especially if they haven't been in a while. And I tell them kind of what we're discussing here, you know, that all the grace is available. There's nothing to be afraid of. But there's always all kinds of questions they'll have. And it's usually more about how to make a good confession, what are the steps. But you have all these questions. Were there any particular questions that you found more interesting than others?
That's a good question. I think we would both have different answers for that, Ken. I think for me, one of the questions that I found really interesting that I had come across a lot in online ministry is the question, like, what if I don't sin? Like, do I need to go? And I found that a very intriguing question because I think it touches on a particular struggle that we don't talk a lot about when it comes to confession. We talk a lot more about the fear of going, recognizing that I need to go, but not so much necessarily the lack of recognition that I need to go. And I think that for so many of us, you know, growing up, kind of referencing what Sister Allison was mentioning before about how what you're taught as a seven-year-old, it's not wrong, but it's applicable to you as a seven-year-old. And as a seven-year-old, often we are taught about the Ten Commandments and, you know, if I didn't murder anyone and if I didn't, you know, steal someone's stuff, then I didn't sin. You know, like often we can rest at that very surface level, seven-year-old understanding of the Ten Commandments and understanding sinfulness, but also understanding grace and the transformative action of God's grace in our lives. And to be able to have the opportunity to kind of address that understanding of like, but what if I don't sin, which is a very honest, raw question, and kind of be able to guide people deeper into a maturity of their understanding of this whole sphere of grace and redemption that we can live out of as either teens or young adults or adults, was such a cool thing to be able to flesh out, recognizing that, you know, sin, literally, the root of the word means to miss the mark. There are so many, you know, layers to our motivations to things, the attitudes that we can choose to hold or things that we allow to fester in us that need healing that we don't necessarily recognize need healing. And if we don't bring it to the doctor, you know, if we don't give him permission to come in and touch this in us, he's not going to force himself in for that healing. But to be able to look inside ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance to bring those things to the light and to the surface and to bring those things to confession is life-changing because it begins to transform us from within. So to be able to explore that nuance of it and kind of guide people who are maybe struggling with that question into a maturity of their faith and that whole new world of grace touching their lives and where they are was really exciting for me. But I know Sister Allison probably has a different one too.
Yeah, I was thinking, Ken, when you were talking about how a lot of people have questions about the practical stuff of like, how do I actually do this? What is it? I was thinking that we cover a lot of ground in the frequently asked questions section, but there is also a whole section that's practical tips for making a good confession. We have a section where it breaks it down step by step and gives detailed kind of like, okay, this is what you do at this point. This is what you say. This is what you do if you forget what you're going to say. And for me, that part is so important because the logic of the book is kind of that we are afraid of things that are unfamiliar to us, that, like, we don't know all of the possibilities of what's going to happen or what we're supposed to do, and we're not sure what's expected to us. But if you make confession something that is familiar, that, like, you do understand how it works and what's happening and what you're expected to do and your role in it, that can make it a lot less scary because it's not unknown anymore. So when we were writing these sections of the book, we kind of had it in mind that, like, if you had no idea how confession works, like, if you've never done it before and you were going in for the first time and you did not have anyone there to kind of help walk you through it, this book could be your person to help walk you through it. Like, it can help you know, like, when is it actually, like, my turn to go in? How do I tell? Or different things like that. So I really love that practical side of the book. But in the frequently asked questions section, I think my favorite question is quite different from Sister Orianne's, actually. It's what if I don't feel forgiven? Addressing kind of that problem that sometimes, well, it's not really a problem, but this experience that many people have and that I have also had, that, like, you go in expecting to receive forgiveness for your sins and this sacramental absolution, and, like, the priest does the prayer and you do everything you're supposed to do, and you walk out feeling exactly the same as you went in. Like, there's no sense of peace or, like, relief or anything. It's just kind of, like, the same. And it's like, well, wait, did it not work right? Is there something that I missed? And the answer to that question is no. Like, our feelings are important and they do communicate things to us. But the reality of the sacrament is there whether we feel forgiven or not. Like, we can trust, we can have faith that because we did the sacrament the way that God asked us to do it, the way that the church has laid out for us, that regardless of how we feel, whether we feel so free from our sins or whether we still feel kind of guilty, we know that God has forgiven us and that we are truly free. But that question also acknowledges the fact that if you are feeling kind of still repeatedly guilty about something, that could be an indication that maybe there's some other type of emotional or psychological healing that still needs to take place in you, and that maybe it would be good to talk to someone that you trust about that to kind of move forward in your healing journey with God. So I think for me, that's probably my favorite out of the frequently asked questions.
Yeah. And as I was reading through the book, it's actually the first question that I had an experience with about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. So I wish I had had the book, but the question was, what if I go to confession and I'm blank on what I wanted to say? And it didn't happen to me. It happened to my father. I was gotten in touch with him. He's he'll be 89. He just turned 89. And I don't know when the last time he went to confession, but I wanted to pick him up and take him to a shrine that he used to go to as a teenager. And so he hadn't been back there in over 50 years. Probably closer to 70 years. And I didn't know it, but when we got to the shrine, he said he wanted to go to confession when we were driving over. And then when we got there, we walked inside the main part of the church, and they have a beautiful side altar. It's the Basilica Shrine to the Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. And they just have a beautiful side altar of Our Lady. And my father stopped there for a couple of minutes, and then he turned and he looked at me, and he's like, I can't believe this happened. And I was like, what's the matter? And he said, you know, I didn't sleep at all last night. I was up all night doing an examination of conscience. And I looked at the Blessed Mother, and I forgot every single thing that I came up with. Do you think the priest will be mad at me? And I thought, what a blessing it was for me to be there, you know, in that moment. But the idea that he would have been trying to be that thorough, and then for whatever reason, God or Our Lady saw fit for him to go blank before he got in there. The one thing I thought, maybe it was to help out the priest, because he probably could have been in there for a couple hours. But yeah, so you do draw that blank. And I know there's been a number of times, especially if you I tend to go face-to-face and, you know, get into a little conversation. And I might be halfway through my list, and next thing I know, he's giving me absolution. And it's like, well, wait a minute, I didn't get to the rest of the list. So in my mind, it's like I'm saying to God, to Jesus, that, you know, for these, and like you say, you know, we can let the priest know we're done by saying, you know, for these and all my sins, I'm sorry, and kind of conclude it. But I could do that in my head anyway, if I somehow or other get cut off or go blank on some of them.
It's such a beautiful experience to be able to know that, you know, when you go to a confession and you show up and you blank in the confessional, God saw you prepare, God saw you show up. Like, he saw you do that, you know? It's not like you're not seen in that. So many things we can do to mitigate that experience, because I'll be really honest, I blank. When I get nervous, I blank in every situation in life, including the confessional. So something that has helped me so much is not only to prepare with a thorough examination of conscience or maybe practice what I want to say, but also to write down, if I really am afraid I'm going to blank, to write down number and kind. So number and kind is a particular expression that we use in the church just to say that when you go into the confessional, what you are really obliged to share is what kind of sin you committed and how many times. And the reason that we do that, as much as possible, obviously, the reason that we do that is to kind of help the priest get a gauge of, like, if I'm going to give advice, which one is maybe the most pertinent or the most in need of help, that kind of thing. But it also is a really important way for us to kind of recognize what is a sin that I habitually struggle with that I might, you know, really need to put some safeguards in my own life for. And when we're able to do that, it can kind of help to, first of all, help us get through that list to list it out so we're not going to forget it. But it also helps us to kind of confess everything that we want to confess, all the things that are on our hearts that we wish to bring for forgiveness, and even potentially, depending on the situation, have the conversation after that list of number and kind so that we really can verbalize it all and bring it all so that we don't risk maybe missing a mortal sin that we were saving to the end because we were embarrassed or whatever it was, right? And that can be a really useful strategy. And if it's a list that we write down on a piece of paper, we can destroy the paper after, which is also a really beautiful physical sign that they're gone. Those sins are gone. They've been absolved. They are gone.
Yeah. Just you know, note for our listeners that if you are going to write it down, some people, like, there's apps out there you can use to keep track and use when you go to confession. Just make sure whatever you do, it's secured. It's not something you want to leave laying around for other folks to find, your kids or your significant other, your spouse. So to Sister's point, when it's done, it's done. Burn it up. You can actually make it a your own sacrament with a little S if you want, and burn that list. But because the other, you know, what goes along with not you mentioned not feeling forgiven, and the other thing is, and sometimes the part I struggle with is feeling, you know, I'm definitely sorry for what I committed. There's sometimes with the sinful acts that the hangover from them is worse than the hangovers I got when I was drinking. I know that I'm sorry, but I don't have that feeling. And I think part of it is that I'm always aware of God's grace, so I don't let the shame and the guilt drag me down like it used to. But you comment on that as well in the book, because I think some people struggle with that. It's like, I know what I did was wrong. I really am sorry. I didn't want to offend God. But I don't feel that the shame and the guilt that I think I should feel. And sometimes I think we want to pull out the whip and whip ourselves. But your solution to that is?
Well, this is one of the things that we address in the book, that feeling sorry and being sorry are not really the same thing. Like, we are required to be sorry for our sins, but it's not necessarily mainly about the emotions that we feel in that. It's more of an act of the will. So the two things you need for when you're in confession for a sin is that you need to recognize and acknowledge the sin, and you have to have contrition or be repentant for it. And that word repentance means a change of mind, like turning away from something, reorienting yourself away from it. So that's something that you choose to do. It's an act of your will. It's not strictly an emotion. So if you recognize that what you did was wrong and you're resolving to turn away from that path and to turn back to God, you are repentant. So it's not so much about like trying to feel like you need to beat yourself up about something, but it really is more that choice. But then there's also the fact, if you're having trouble feeling that your sin really matters, it might be helpful for you to kind of take a look at Jesus on the cross and or pray the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, or like really try to think about what that sin really means and what that costs Jesus, to really understand what you did and why it matters that you confess that sin, because that is also important for us to recognize that this isn't just some like arbitrary checklist thing that we have to do. It really is truly a reconciling of ourselves with God from the ways that we have cut ourselves off from God, and that we are truly receiving healing, spiritual healing, because we have spiritually wounded ourselves through our sins. So they are important. They do matter. But it's not so much about feeling guilty or feeling bad about it so much as being actually sorry for our sins.
Yeah, and I would just add, and you put it in multiple places throughout the book, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And praying and asking the Holy Spirit for guidance throughout the process, anything that we're struggling with. I've also heard one of the priests that I follow, his podcast, talks a lot, and you mentioned the Sorrowful Mysteries, but Our Lady of Sorrows, that I had heard a recommendation that if you have sins that are unconfessed sins, to ask Our Lady of Sorrows to bring them to mind. But I love the idea that you put out time and time again throughout the book, no matter what you're struggling with, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll bring it around and guide you, whether it's trying to recall what you've done, the sins you've committed, the help or that you need in actually making the sacrament, and all through the process to include the Holy Spirit in that.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think so often, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we can fall into the trap of feeling like when we say ask the Holy Spirit, somehow we're like looking up to the sky and calling down someone far away from us. In our baptism, literally, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. He's already there. He's already inside of you. And to be able to just take a step back and remember that, like truly, in the depths of our being, remember that the Holy Spirit's there. He's there inside of us. He's living inside of us. It's not like we're calling him from a distance. Like, he's already yearning to work this healing and this transformation in us by bringing these up into the light, and giving us the courage that we need in the midst of our fear and anxieties to bring them to Christ crucified and resurrected in the confessional. So it's such a boon and a comfort, I think, to know that he's already there rooting for us and advocating for us and helping make this possible.
Amen. Sisters, we've already reached the bottom of the order, bottom of the order. I'm thinking of baseball. The bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break. Again, our guests today are Sister Orianne Dick and Sister Allison Goliath. They are Daughters of St. Paul. The book we're talking about is called Forgiven, A Guide to Confession and the Examine Prayer. Available from the Pauline Sisters at pauline.org. Locally here in the Philadelphia area, I'd recommend you visit our friends at the St. Jude Shop and pick it up there. But use those two sources before you go to any other big online places. Sisters, we are going to take a short break. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus, the Word, to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio that allows me to be here on Wednesdays and hopefully bring you great shows like today's. Again, my guests today are Sister Orion Dick and Sister Allison Goliath. They are daughters of St. Paul, and they've written a wonderful little book called Forgiven, A Guide to Confession and the Examine Prayer. Available at Pauline.org and locally here at the St. Jude Shop. And in the first segment, we spent a lot of time talking about the practical parts of going to confession and examination of conscience, confessing our sins. But one of the second part of the book is one that I really enjoyed because I first learned about the examine prayer on a retreat probably 15 years ago at a Jesuit retreat house. And I think Ignatius of Loyola, I don't think he was the first one to come up with the examine prayer, although I think it was the title that he gave it that became adopted. And he thought it was so important that his Jesuit priests and brothers were required to do it every day. And there were times when they may have been really busy, whether they were going to conferences or were doing other works, and they had limited time. And so they wouldn't be able to do everything that they were required to do every day. But Ignatius of Loyola would tell them that no matter what, they have to do the exam. And you can cut out the rosary, you can cut out daily mass perhaps, but you cannot cut out the exam, and that's how important he thought it was. And I share that with people in light of like the 10th step in the 12-step program, where we're supposed to do a daily inventory, and I tie in that's how important it was that to Ignatius that we do that. And so you lay that out for us in the book, and I think it's great the way you did it, because I only knew of one way, but you lay out three different ways I think that we can participate in that prayer.
Yeah, so the examine prayer is, for me, it's such a beautiful practice because it's the idea that you want to look over all of the events of your daily life with God and see kind of where has God been moving in your life, what graces has he been giving you, how have you been responding or not responding, as the case may be, and it helps you be more intentional about how you want to live the next day of your life. And this was something that we felt was very important to include in this book because I think that sometimes when we're preparing for a confession, it's like you're thinking really hard about how you've been living since your last confession. But when you're doing an examination of conscience, you're specifically looking at your sins, like the places where you messed up, the places where you need healing. But you're not necessarily taking time to look at all of the awesome stuff that happened, all of the wonderful things that God was doing in your life, the times when you didn't sin, when you did respond to his grace. And that's also important for us to remember and be grateful for and figure out how to do more of. And so it's one of those things that if you're doing an examine prayer regularly, where you're really taking time at the end of the day or in the middle of your day to look over and see, okay, what is God doing today in my life right now? And where am I at? And what am I doing today with God or not with God? That is a way of really getting to know Jesus more closely and growing in a deeper relationship with him. And then it also has the great benefit of you're going to be more prepared next time you do have to go to confession as well, because this is something that you've been attentive to throughout your life, not just the day before you go to confession. So for me, it's so important to have that there, because we want to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus that covers every day of our life and all of the little ordinary things that we have to do, because that's what makes up our life, and that's how we're getting closer to heaven every day with Jesus.
Did you want to talk a little bit about the three different ways that you outline in the book?
Sister Ryan, did you want to do that, or do you want me to?
Maybe I can give an intro, and if I miss anything, Sister Allison, jump in.
Sure.
So the part of the reason that we did three different versions is because, as you were mentioning, Ken, although this type of praying, this type of being able to look at God active in our life has existed since we knew Jesus, right? This very particular way of formulating it and naming it did come from the Ignatian tradition, from St. Ignatius. And there's a very particular basic structure that is like the general way of practicing it. Our sisters, we make an examen every day. And we really wanted to be able to share that standard, that it's easy, it's accessible, that you'll see everywhere. But we do recognize that different people process differently. We process information differently. We experience different things in life with different types of intensities and all of those things. So we offered two different ways of basically doing the same thing. It's the same prayer. It's the same type of experience. But if you are someone who, you know, really needs to be able to step back and look at things in a different way, or if you process more intellectually or more emotively, we wanted to make sure that everyone had an accessible way of stepping into this prayer. And I think Sister Allison has, like, the strongest handle on how best to explain them concisely, so I'll toss that ball to her.
Sure. So the first prayer, as Sister Ryan mentioned, is just the basic examine prayer, like, very simple, very short, like, how you look at the movements of your day with Jesus. And the second one is more of an imaginative approach to prayer. So you're still looking at those same movements of your day and praying them. But at the beginning of the prayer, you're asked to imagine yourself in a place that reflects the kind of day that you had. And so depending on what your day was like, you know, that might be a barren desert if you didn't have a great day, or like a bright meadow full of flowers, or I don't know, an apocalyptic city, like whatever it is that you're feeling is like, this is where I'm at right now. Like, if my brain was a world, this is what this world would look like. And then you're picturing Jesus there with you and just basically having a conversation with him about your day, and seeing as you talk to Jesus about your day and go through those different moments of your day, kind of how does that maybe change the place that you're imagining? You know, is anything changing based on the way that God sees your day? Like, what kind of place does he see when he's looking at the day that you had together? And so that's like a beautiful way of engaging your imagination in this prayer for those of us who are more visually minded. And the third option for the examine prayer is similar to the second one in the sense that it's imaginative, but it's a little bit less picture-based, I guess. It's really just to imagine that you're sitting down with Jesus and having a conversation with him the way you would have a conversation with a friend. And so it's just like Jesus is sitting across from you, and you're talking with him face-to-face kind of about your day, and also listening to how he responds, because conversations are two-way. And so it's not just a practice of reciting everything that you did that day, or, you know, you looking at it by yourself. But it's really that conversational format is supposed to help you remember that, like, no, Jesus is a part of this too, and he has something to say about the day that you had as well. And so it's an exercise that kind of encourages you to slow down and take that time to listen to him, and to really look at your day not just from how you look at it, but also how God looks at it and what he truly is desiring for you kind of through those experiences that you've had.
Yeah, and it's, on the spiritual journey, that it definitely changes over time, and that's where I think the examine comes in, because you can see it. If you don't do it every day, you may not see it. You may not ever see it. And I was just sharing with somebody the other night that, I'll be doing something, and I hear the voice say, pray the rosary, and I would do the same thing I would say to my wife when I was in the middle of something and she would ask me to do something. I say, okay, and then I don't do it. And then and then I hear, pray the rosary. All right, I will in a little bit. And then sometimes I never get to it, and then other times it'll come a third time, and it's like, pray the rosary now. Okay, I got it. But when you do the examine, you can see that on a regular basis, and you know, did that happen 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row? Am I falling out of a routine that I was in, and those types of things? Whereas if we only do it, if we go to confession once a month and we only do it on a monthly basis, we lose that those daily interactions that God tries to have with us, I think, and can really stunt our spiritual growth.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really important, too, because sometimes we can fall into the trap of putting Jesus in a box, like literally. We will go to encounter him in church where he is in the tabernacle. We leave the premises of the building and we kind of want him to stay there almost. Like, we don't necessarily allow him to change how we live in the parking lot and at our home and in our car. And likewise, we can stifle grace and stick it into the confessional and act as though that God's grace is not somehow unfolding and at work in us in other parts of our lives. But to be able to see how the Lord is actually healing us in real time throughout the days, and also these places where he's present and active, like, we start to recognize patterns, and we are able to step back and say, oh my gosh, look what he's doing. And to be able to wonder in that is so amazing. And that comes through being able to look for him reflectively, and being able to learn over time to recognize his voice, his action, his footsteps, his fingerprints, if you will.
And that learning over time how to listen to God's voice is so important, because I think sometimes we can fall into the trap of, like, when there's some life emergency or something crazy happened and you're like, okay, now I really need to hear God right now. But, like, yeah, you haven't been doing it in your daily life. It's tricky when you're having a crisis to be in a place where it's easy to hear God's voice. And so if in those more normal days when nothing crazy is happening, your world is not falling apart necessarily, you are learning in the quietness and the noise how to listen to God and know what his voice sounds like to you and the kinds of things he says to you, then when everything in your life is crazy and you're panicking and you need God, you are trained already in how to hear his voice. You know how to look for it. You know how to listen for it. And that is something that God can really work with. If we work with him, he really does. Like, he has lots to say to us, but we have to have ears open to hear it. And so the examine prayer is a great way to open up our ears every day for that.
Awesome. One last time, our guests today, Sister Orion Dick and Sister Allison Goliath, they are Daughters of St. Paul. They've written a wonderful little book called Forgiven, A Guide to Confession and the Examine Prayer. We covered confession in the first segment. We've just covered the examine prayer. Anything else on the book that we haven't talked about that you want to let our listeners know about?
I guess The first two parts, as you mentioned, Ken, are about confession and about the exam and prayer. There's actually a third and closing section, which is a collection of scripture, reflections, and prayer on forgiveness, on mercy, on redemption. And our hope is really that that kind of allows a growing ground, if you will, to be able to deepen our prayer, deepen our recognition of what kind of things the Lord does speak to us. Because we know that in prayer, nothing that the Lord says to us will contradict what he says in Scripture, what he teaches through the church. So to be able to kind of get a baseline of beginning to recognize God's voice in Scripture, in these prayers that have been taught through the tradition of the church, helps us to recognize his voice of mercy, of calling us to transformation and redemption in our life, in the confessional, and beyond. So that's kind of a cool little bookend, if you will, in the book.
Yep, and a little index in the back to help you find, to get directly to some of the topics that we've talked about. So you, I look at the picture in the back, and the, both of you could be my daughters. and you just, you look like kids, but and you are kids, really, but especially children of God. What was it? we've got about 10 minutes left, and I'm not intrigued, not the right word, but I always like to hear people's stories and how God got them to where he needed them to be. Mine was like a circuitous journey that took me probably 55 years to get to where God wanted me to be, maybe a little less than that. But it seems to me that the two of you have been blessed to find that out a lot younger than I did. And maybe if you just want to take a couple of minutes, and how was it that you came to be daughters of St. Paul? And then how did you end up being, it seems that you've grown pretty close together. I don't know if it's because you're the same age, you came in around the same time. But anyway, maybe a little bit about yourselves individually, in case any of there's young girls or guys that are out there and trying to figure out what God wants them to do.
Sister Orin, you want to go first? I'm going to let you go first because you entered first.
Uh-oh.
Okay, fine. I was thinking first. So I really never thought about becoming a nun when I was growing up as a kid. The first time I really started thinking about it was when I was in college, and I went to the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and so there were a lot of nuns going to school there, a lot of priests and seminarians, and so that was the first time I was really exposed a lot to religious life, and also to other young Catholics who were practicing their faith, like who really knew Jesus and had a relationship with him. And I think it was really that example of my fellow students that inspired me, like, I don't think that I am praying the way that they're praying because I don't know God like that, and I want to. And so I started getting involved more in, you know, daily mass, going to Eucharistic adoration, different Bible study and prayer groups and things, and started to realize, like, wow, this is, like, my favorite part of my day, and I want to do this with my life. So it was a slow journey to religious life from there. It wasn't, like, immediate. I was like, okay, let me go find a convent and join tomorrow. But Jesus really gently led me there, and I met the Daughters of St. Paul while I was in college, actually. They had a convent nearby. And so I entered the semester after I graduated college from my undergrad. So that was in 2017, and here I am.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Ken, just to your point, I think it's a beautiful thing that we come to different places in our faith at different ages because, you know, I think it provides so much hope for other people who are in similar circumstances to us. And our founder, Blessed James Labrione, he used to say that if God could find a more unworthy instrument, he would choose the more unworthy instrument. And I have to say, like, if finding the Lord and finding our vocation at what, you know, might be deemed a younger age is not a recognition that we are somehow more holy than anyone. It's really not. You know, God chooses us in our lowliness.
Yep.
And to be able to embrace the miracle of that, because it is a miracle that we don't deserve. And to just praise God for that mercy. So, yeah. I mean, I was out of university. I had been teaching for a few years, and I had a priest ask me in confession if I had ever considered religious life, and I hadn't, and that really kickstarted my journey. But it wasn't an easy one. I converted at the age of 12. That was a really long, ongoing process for myself. And, you know, for all of us, even after we enter the convent, it's not like, oh, we're done now. we go through this ongoing journey. It's a lifelong journey. So we always ask people, please keep us in your prayers as well as we pray for you, because we need grace too. And we're growing in our journey with the Lord as well. So,
yeah, in the 4 o'clock hour, we do a show, a good friend of mine, a priest, and I, called Saints and Sinners. We talk about the saints in the liturgical calendar, and today we were talking about Thérèse Lisieux. And, you know, living in a convent, and in some ways she was tortured. I mean, because it's not like a walk in the park living in a convent. You're living with the same people day in and day out, and you all have your foibles and quirks and what have you. So I think sometimes those of us on the outside think it's probably like a boring, uneventful life, and yet there's a whole lot to it. And I'm sure that you have your struggles as well.
It wouldn't be a sanctifying vocation if it were easy, but none of our lives are, right?
We're
all met with the cross.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, nobody gets out alive, right? We all suffer.
We do, but there's so much joy in meeting the Lord in the midst of that. So,
no, and I'll just say it'd be neat. I see a lot of podcasts. I look at them and you see the host with the other folks on video, and obviously I can't see you because we're talking over phone lines. But the joy that just kind of oozes from you is it's obvious, and it's not. It doesn't seem to me that it's something that's put on, that there's joy in the Lord. And I feel that, you know, the same way most of the time, because I know what God has done for me and for my family. And so we get to experience that joy that God really wants us to live. And to your point, it's even when you can experience that joy, even in our suffering. And certainly leading a sinful life can lead to suffering, but the joy that we can experience with God's help, and especially through the sacrament of confession, you know, you can't put a price tag on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So got just about 3 or 4 minutes left. Any final words before we have to part ways?
I wanted to let everyone know that one of the things that as consecrated religious who write books, that something that we do is that even before we start writing the book, we're praying for those who are going to be reading it. As we're writing the book, we're praying for those who are going to be reading it. And then as the book is published, we're praying for those who are going to be reading it. Like, that's truly part of our ministry is, like, yes, we are putting this material out there. We want people to read the book and get a lot out of it. But we're really, truly praying for each and every person who encounters that book, and everyone who is struggling with confession or maybe trying to reconnect with God in their daily lives through the examine prayer. Like, that's something that we do keep close to our heart and to our daily prayers. And it's not just us authors who are doing those prayers. It is our whole congregation of Daughters of St. Paul. All of our sisters are also praying for everyone our mission encounters. So please know of our prayers for you, too.
No, I appreciate that. I didn't ask, but are you in the same convent?
We're both daughters. Oh, sorry. We're both Daughters of St. Paul, but we're stationed in different places.
Okay.
Sister Oriana's up in Toronto, Canada, and I am currently in Boston, Massachusetts at our mother house, but I'm actually later this week being transferred to Miami, Florida, to our convent there. So not in Boston for much longer.
Yeah. Hopefully you get down there after hurricane season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Pray for everyone who's there, please.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, sisters, it's been a pleasure to have you. I know we swapped a couple of emails in preparation, which helped me a great deal, but receiving a copy of the book and going through it was even greater. Again, our guests today have been Sister Orianne Dick and Sister Allison Goliath, Daughters of St. Paul. The name of the book is Forgiven, A Guide to Confession and the Examine Prayer. It's published by the Daughters of St. Paul. You can pick it up at their website at pauline.org. Locally, run over to the St. Jude shop in Havertown and grab a copy. You may want to call them ahead of time and make sure that they have it in stock. And if not, they can certainly order it for you. Sisters, I can't thank you enough for being with me for the whole hour. I really liked the book, and I enjoyed talking about it. Please know that you will be in my prayers and those of my listeners. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you. It's really been a pleasure.
God bless you. And I'll be in touch in the next couple of days. We'll get you a link to the recording. You can share with others if you care to. But
wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks again for being here. God bless you. And a little bit different. It'll be interesting to see how the sound comes out. Because they were in two different places, one in Toronto, one in Boston, they called in on two different lines, and there can be some issues. We've had it in the past, even when it's just Father McKay and I, if we get somebody that calls in. The way the phone lines work is when you're talking, you can't it's all one way. So if you're talking, you can't hear other people talk. And the sisters did a great job of not overlapping. And I appreciate that. But I think from time to time there was a little bit of feedback. But that's okay. I think we still managed to get the message across. On this Wednesday, again, it's been great to be with you. Nice to have Father McKay back on in the 4 o'clock hour, and he should be with us for the foreseeable future. He got his 2 weeks off, so we'll keep him busy and come him back. Again, I won't talk to you again before the golf outing on Monday. I hope you're going to be there. If not, call Maureen 610-527-2906. See if you can still get in for golf and or dinner. It's always an awesome day. And I'd love meeting the people that that come out, especially the listeners that support us so well. And, again, we'll be at Talamore Country Club. Information is on our website, innissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the page, you can click on a link to download the flyer. Again, it's been a pleasure to be with you on this Wednesday. Always look forward to it, and already looking forward to being back with you again next Wednesday. I just pray between now and then that God will hold you in the palm of his hand.